The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Ellen Sura for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Restaurant Review. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Carey Magazine, Wake Living, and Our State Magazine. Our first article today is from Carey Magazine, The Sycamore at Chatham Mills by David McCreary. Greg Lewis opened upscale restaurant The Sycamore at Chatham Mills in Pittsburgh because his wife wanted a nice place for people to eat steak. While prime beef certainly gets top billing, it is not the only star of the show. Diners also can savor duck, ostrich, seafood, and more in a circa 1920s building that formerly housed a textile manufacturing plant. The Sycamore provides a warm, welcoming atmosphere for guests to relax and enjoy a seasonal menu filled with creative food, says Greg, an easygoing New Jersey native who also owns 39 West Catering and special event venue Forest Hall at Chatham Mills. A 1986 alumnus of New York's renowned Culinary Institute of America, Greg has worked in restaurants since he was a young teenager. He's now 62. I'm a classically trained chef who's been given the opportunity to do a lot of things over the years, he says. Greg and his wife, Maria Parker Lewis, came to North Carolina in 2000, choosing to settle in Cary. He owned and ran the now defunct Italian eatery, Errico's, and then founded Catering by Design, an award-winning business that still thrives today under new proprietorship. We moved to Chatham County in 2007 because we preferred to live in a more rural area, Greg explains. The Lewises bought Pittsburgh Roadhouse in 2012, which enjoyed a successful run until the COVID pandemic wreaked havoc on the business, ultimately forcing its closure. But in June of 2021, the resilient couple reemerged and opened The Sycamore, which provides refined cuisine in a revitalized setting. The main dining room features an elevated ceiling with vintage chandeliers, antique hardwood flooring, and exposed brick walls awash with character. A cast iron fire door provides a striking vestige from the historic mill, which once served as the world's largest maker of woven cloth labels for everything from clothing to mattresses to parachutes. Additional flourishes like peacock-themed wallpaper and custom upholstered chairs were envisioned by Maria, who collaborated with Ashley Campbell and Shauna O'Leary of interior design business An Acquired Style in Pittsburgh to pull everything together. A retro-vibed lounge features a fireplace, billiards table, and comfortable furniture that's perfect for unwinding. On Thursdays, small plates are available in the lounge for just $10, including items such as an Angus burger, burrata, and beef tartare. On any given night in the main dining room, an instrumentalist plays a baby grand piano during dinner service. Live jazz music is available each Wednesday from 6 to 9 p.m. We have 5 different jazz musicians or groups that we rotate through each week, Greg says. Greg realizes that running a successful restaurant involves treating people well, starting with his staff. To see him in action is like watching a father doting over his beloved children. We're all family here, and every member of the team knows if there's ever anything I can do for them, I will, he asserts. Bar manager Tabitha Matson agrees. Greg has been the best boss I've ever worked with, so this is the only place I want to be. Delficio Herring II, the restaurant's general manager, appreciates the camaraderie of the staff and the way Greg regards them. I've been here since March of 2021, which was before the restaurant opened for business, and Greg has always shown respect to me and others, he says. In addition to valuing his front-of-house staff, Greg gives executive chef Ernest Fisher free rein in the kitchen. Consider it one chef trusting another to consistently churn out first-rate gastronomy. Ernest, who hails from Connecticut, serves up well-composed dishes with aplomb. Many of the artfully presented dishes arrive tableside on handmade stoneware from Seagrove, North Carolina. Inventive small plates include offerings like ostrich meatballs paired with sweet and spicy red pepper coulis, and stuffed quail with cranberry wild rice and a cherry reduction. Notable entrees available during our visit encompassed pan-seared duck breast with whipped parsnips, fondant potatoes, and lemongrass pesto, slow-cooked boneless pork tenderloin accompanied by braised collards and cranberry apple chutney, and an alligator-stuffed airline chicken with goat cheese, kale, shallots, and a Creole butter sauce. Ribeye, New York strip, and filet mignon are always on the menu, Greg says with a smile, adding that the ribeye is his favorite among all the main dish selections. Fresh fish, ranging from amberjack and black drum to cobia and tile, is sourced from locals' seafood. Side dishes should not be an afterthought. You can't go wrong with crispy delicata squash with hot honey, or buttered broccolini and cauliflower. But if you don't try any other shareable side dish, order the resplendent mac and cheese. Confession, we couldn't stop relishing it during and after the photo shoot. It is a signature side that contains Gruyere, white cheddar, brie, and fontina, and is made with cavatappi pasta, says Chef Ernest. Desserts run the gamut from orange olive oil cake and ricotta cheesecake to chocolate-laden indulgences like pâte de crème and a pecan tart with huckleberry compote. The menu at the Sycamore is adaptable for gluten-free or vegan purposes. We can also accommodate people with alpha-gal, says Greg, adding that his wife suffers from alpha-gal syndrome, a tick-borne illness that causes some people to become allergic to red meat. The eatery's beverage team curates a wine list that balances approachability with sophistication, combining thoughtful-by-the-glass selections with reserve-level bottles from celebrated regions across the globe. Distinctive craft cocktails include choices like the ginger-infused Apple of My Chai and the household-fashioned with Elijah Craig bourbon, Demerara syrup, bitters, an orange peel, and a cherry. Service is polished, gracious, and attentive. When people come through the door, we let them know we're going to take good care of them and guide them through their dining experience, Greg says. The Sycamore at Chatham Mills is open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. Reservations are strongly recommended for the main dining room. The Sycamore is located at 480 Hillsborough Street, number 500, in Pittsboro, North Carolina. Their phone number is 919-704-8731. And the email, or the website, which I'm going to spell out, the sycamoreatchatamills.com. And they can be found on social media at the Sycamore at Chatham Mills. Next up from Wake Living, Legendary Lunches, Good Things Between Bread, by Andrea Richards. Sandwiches seem simple, but even when they are, a sandwich is always more than the sum of its parts. As a concept, it's clear, good things between bread. But there are seemingly infinite varieties, not just in ingredients, but also in style and form. Hoagies, subs, open face, tortas, banh mi, sandos. Almost all are designed to be portable and quick, ideal for a meal on the run, with many possible places to procure one. Delis, sub shops, gas stations, grocery stores, cafes, and even some five-star restaurants. And of course, in the paper sack you packed at home. A sandwich can be savory, which is most often, or sweet, think Nutella, or maybe both. It can be pricey or inexpensive, mind-blowing, or mid. Is a hamburger a sandwich? What about a wrap or a gyro? I don't know, but I won't entertain them here. Instead, we celebrate different takes on good things between bread. Some homegrown triangle restaurants or sandwiches transform a lunch break into something far from basic, bringing flavor and big feelings to the table. It's no surprise that for Andrew Ullum, a good bakery or good sandwich starts with his bread. After all, he and his wife Jess own Union Special, a busy bakery and cafe known for its artisanal breads, located in Raleigh's buzzy Gateway Plaza shopping center. It's not just what holds the sandwich together, it's an ingredient, and it needs great structure and taste, Andrew says. You can get the best ingredients together, but if you use bad bread, you have ruined the sandwich. Using breads made with locally milled flour, like the whole wheat and spelt sourdough, Union Sour, or a soft and fluffy potato loaf, Andrew adds thoughtful elements to familiar staples. Instead of mayo, the BLT has a chow chow aioli. A turkey melt made richer with Gruyere cheese includes a crunchy apple cabbage slaw. Served on a homemade brioche bun slathered with romesco, the Union Egg Sandwich, scrambled eggs, and fontina cheese with a big fat hash brown at its center, has achieved cult status and makes a glorious mess. If you want to lean in even more into cheesy goodness, the grown-up grilled cheese includes even more fontina, plus cheddar, kale pesto, and pepper jelly. Served on hearty Union Sour, the bread keeps this flavor bomb together. When I take my 9-year-old son out for burgers, he's like, "Dad, you should make the bread," Andrew says, and I can certainly empathize. It must be hard to downgrade if you're used to sandwiches like this. There are specials too, but amid a booming wholesale business that supplies bread all over the region, Andrew keeps the regulars in mind. "We have folks who come in and get the same sandwich a couple of times a week, and I feel a lot of pride in that. Consistency is really important." The certainty of a beloved sandwich offers comfort in an increasingly chaotic world. Ordering the regular and knowing exactly what's on it supplies a steadiness we sometimes crave. Sandwiches can be symbols, offering simpler times, or comfort foods, like how a PB&J always makes one feel like a kid, even if made with gourmet nut butter instead of Jif. For those looking for a side of nostalgia with their sandwich, try Side Street Restaurant, which has been operating on a quiet street in Raleigh's Oakwood neighborhood for 46 years. Tucked away in a largely residential area, this historic restaurant feels like visiting someone's home. The sandwiches are similarly homey, full of personality and a sense of place. Think Mama's pimento cheese, homemade egg salad, and a slate of sandwiches that bear proper names. Hope's Best, pimento cheese, veggies, and bacon. Rob's Barnyard Strut, chicken salad with pecans, apples, and sprouts. And Hank's Brief, tuna salad in a pita. Side Street is charming and quaint and extremely thoughtful, from the menu to the space and service. If you can't choose between a strut and a Hank's, then order the split personality and have both. Because here, you can have your bread pudding or pie. Don't miss the desserts. And eat it, too. Less than 2 miles away is Matt Fern's Ish Delicatessen, a deli counter cafe located inside Person Street Pharmacy. Both the location and the menu act like wormholes where one can rapidly travel through influences and time, making sandwiches that feel both familiar and new. It is a modern-day soda fountain cum bottle shop dreamt up by a sandwich visionary and wine connoisseur. Like Andrew, Matt worked for Ashley Christensen's company before striking out on his own. Andrew was the executive pastry chef at AC Restaurants, Matt, the beverage director. I had a really great job and decided to trade that in to focus my life on meat and cheese in between bread and get a little strange with it, Matt says. As he describes it, Ish is kind of sort of Jewish, kind of sort of Italian, sort of from the South, and sort of a deli. It blends, borrows, and steals from all these classic ideas. The pastrami and corned beef, your choice, are smoked in-house for the Reuben, and the bread is a rye specially made by Bolted Bread. The ends of that delicious pastrami get repurposed in a burnt ends potato salad that is so good, I didn't flinch when my daughter ate a bowl of it for breakfast. The potato salad, along with other house-made meats and salads, is available by the pound in the deli case, and breakfast is served all day alongside lunch. Like delis of yore, photos of local luminaries line the walls. The counter should lend a strong deli vibe to the spot, but the atmosphere, maybe because of the pharmacy, is decidedly more luncheonette, or maybe, like the menu, it's a little bit of both. For Matt, what makes a good sandwich is condiments and cheese on both sides of the bread. He brings that sense of maximalism and experimentation to the classics. The BLT and blue changes with the seasons, featuring fresh heirloom tomatoes in the summer, fried green tomatoes in the shoulder months, and roasted red ones in the winter, but with a mainstay of blue cheese dressing slathered on both sides. His take on the tuna melt features fish directly from the North Carolina coast through local seafood, smoked in-house, then wedged between two slices of sourdough coated with a lemon dill mayo, plus melted Swiss cheese and braised Swiss chard. It is as close to perfection as I think exists, Matt says. That Swiss chard shows up again as pickled stems that are deep fried and buried beneath layers of melted cheese on the fried pickle grilled cheese, which is an utterly unique offering. So too is my personal favorite, the beet tzatziki, a grilled cheese with melted dill Havarti and beets that have been roasted and tzatzikied. Inspired by a salad he once had at the now-shuttered Sonoma restaurant Shed, Matt put it inside of bread. Another of Matt's irreverent moves is that the breakfast menu features the same sandwich under two different names. File this one under IYKYK, but it's a New York Jersey pork roll that inspires the same amount of conflict as a Duke Carolina game. Still, for all the ruffled feathers, Matt has created a sandwich spot where everyone can feel comfortable and find something they want to eat, discovering a new take on an old classic or something entirely new. Don't miss the specials, where Matt's originality certainly shines. Sandwiches can be comforting, fun, and inspire hunger, wonder, and nostalgia on the same plate. Some of the sandwiches at Side Street, like a cream cheese and olive one, made me miss my mother-in-law, reminding me of long-ago lunches. The friendly service and community vibe at all three spots made me think about how great it is when someone makes a sandwich for you, especially one so good you couldn't possibly make it for yourself. It's lunch, not an intellectual endeavor, says Matt at the end of our conversation about his inspirations. His quote is a good reminder that the sandwich was made to fill a void in our stomach, not our hearts. But sometimes it's hard to know the difference. So Union Special Bread is located at 2409 Crabtree Boulevard, number 102, in Raleigh, North Carolina. Their phone is 984-200-3094. And their website, unionspecialbread.com. Side Street Restaurant is located at 225 North Bloodworth Street, number 427, in Raleigh, North Carolina, 919-828-4927. And their website, sidestreetrestaurantraleigh.com. And finally, Ish Delicatessen is inside the Person Street Pharmacy at 702 North Person Street in Raleigh. Phone 984-200-8189. And their website, ishdelicatessen.com. And finally today, from our state, Wilmington's Bread Whisperer by Katie Kane Reynolds. Sorry, Julia, but Sue's exploding. Julia Castellano, owner of Little Loaf Bakery and Schoolhouse in Wilmington, smiles at her frazzled class assistant, Erin Burney, and laughs. Castellano pops up from her chair in front of the sourdough class she's leading, her dark curls bouncing behind her as she heads into the kitchen. Confusion spreads across the faces of the 14 bread-making novices at today's lesson. They glance around the room, all wondering the same thing. Who is Sue? Sue might be sweet, but she's been known to act out. Between you and me, she smells like she's been drinking champagne all day. But that's not unusual. Sue is a variety of sourdough starter, mainly used in Castellano's popular friendship cake that's rich in spices and topped with a nutty crumble. Years of fermenting sugar, flour, and milk explain her boozy aroma, and the humidity from this afternoon's storm has caused her to expand rapidly and, well, explode. Sue, named for the friend who gave her the starter, is one of four that Castellano has collected, fed, and shared over the years. Today, she has given each of her students some of Dopey Jr., a sourdough starter created from the 161-year-old one that her mentor, Jeffrey, a baker in the small French town of Trignac, used in his bread. The students blend Dopey Jr. into their dough and, with Castellano's help, shape it into boules or balls. Using the pinky edge of her hands, she rolls each boule across the counter to tuck away any seams and watches as the bakers mirror her movements. After tending to each boule, she pauses to tap the dough twice, like the head of a beloved pet, and says in an adoring tone, "I love you." Though the afternoon is advertised as a sourdough-making class, Castellano teaches her pupils how to make and love this ancient craft. She can't help it. Bread. Baking it, sharing it, and eating it makes her happy. Born in New York, Castellano moved to Wilmington with her parents and her sister Charlotte in 2003 when she was nine. Her mother is from Belgium, and her father's grandparents immigrated from Italy. This meant large Italian Sunday dinners and trips to Europe to see relatives and indulge in breads and pastries, experiences that cemented her affinity for food. "When I was a kid, my sister watched Animal Planet, and I watched the Food Network," she says. When Castellano prayed before bed, her prayers were always the same. "I want to thank God for chocolate." Castellano studied French and teaching English as a second language at App State. There, she'd learn her friends' favorite desserts so she could surprise them on their birthdays. "As I got older, baking was a way that I felt I could make other people happy," she says. After school, she taught English on Reunion Island, located in the Indian Ocean, and then in Argentina. The Argentinian village where she lived was remote, and she felt isolated. As a food lover, she noticed that the locals enjoyed cookies called pepas every morning, so she set out on a mission. Every night, she stayed up baking hundreds of these cookies and perfecting her recipe. In the morning, she would hop on her bike and sell them around town. "It was the number one thing I looked forward to," she says. This time, Castellano baked to make herself happy. Eventually, she enrolled in a pastry program in Vancouver and later apprenticed in the small French town where her uncle lived. She realized her croissants needed to be good enough to compete with what people could get in France, or she wasn't going to be able to sell them. In Trignac, she learned the precision with which a boulanger, or baker, works. "Working in pastry there is like being a doctor," she says. "It is very revered and respected." She brought home recipes, some starter that she smuggled through security, and an appreciation for old world baking. At Little Loaf, she says, "We are very creative, but when we stick to the original method and what it's supposed to be, it always renders the best result. There is no machine that's going to mix the dough like your hands do." In 2020, still deciding what she would do with her baking skills, Castellano made sourdough at home and gave it away. She started selling her bread at farmers markets, and after much demand, purchased the circa 1930s cottage that is now home to her bakery. In 2022, Little Loaf opened for business. Ever since, Castellano has been baking to keep all of Wilmington happy. Of all of her offerings at the bakery, Castellano loves teaching classes the most. When she opened a bakery, she didn't want to abandon her passion for education. "I didn't stop teaching English because I didn't like teaching," she says. "Every time you teach, you learn. You never want to feel like there's not more to learn." In addition to sourdough classes, she offers other lessons in baking and hosts other local makers who share their knowledge. Soon after Little Loaf opened, when it was just Castellano, her sister, and a few others working there, a baker named Dylan O'Neill reached out. He was looking to move to Wilmington from New York, and he asked if he could apprentice under her. Ever the fan of education, Castellano agreed. A skilled baker himself, O'Neill helped her perfect her croissant lamination. One day, when it was just two of them in the bakery, he kissed her. They started dating and kept baking. In 2025, they married. At their wedding, they served a moon pie-inspired cake and cupcakes with toasted meringue plus salted vanilla bean cupcakes, all made by the couple. On the happiest day of her life, Castellano was baking. Once Castellano puts Sue back in her place, she returns to her students. The session is nearing its end when a ding rings out from back of the bakery. Some of the folks at today's sold-out class have baking experience but want to learn. Little Loaf was named the best bakery by Wilmington Magazine in 2024 and 2025, thanks to her passion and her talented staff, which has grown to 13 in 3 years. What sets her apart is her dedication to the old world methods she learned through her travels. The more complicated you make bread and food, the further away it gets from something that's nourishing, enjoyable, and nostalgic, she says. Little Loaf Bakery and Schoolhouse is at 3410 Wrightsville Avenue in Wilmington, North Carolina. Their phone is 910-399-6061. And it's littleloafbakeryilm.com. We have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Review. Be sure to listen next time. Hope you've enjoyed it. I am Mary Ellen Sura, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Restaurant Review is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service and have a great day.